because in those valleys, we can call out to the Lord from the depths of our hearts, and we know that He's going to be there.
I've started on my way, and Lord, you know I'm not complaining. There's just something I should say, for I've reached desperation.
Let's turn in our Bibles now to Lamentations, the book of Lamentations, chapter 2. That word lamentation comes from lament. I mean, like to cry. It's called the Lamentations of Jeremiah. It's right after the book of Jeremiah. Yep, just a little bit, Brother Dale Nissen. And as I said, we teach the Bible on Wednesday night and preach on Sunday morning, Sunday night. My job as a preacher, I'm supposed to be able to teach too, and I ain't much either one, but I got a real good teacher and a great book to get lessons out of, and that helps a whole lot. Lamentations chapter 2. This lesson tonight from the Word of God is for all the parents that are here tonight with kids. Parents with kids. I'm sorry about my eyes and my throat. I look like I've been drunk, but I ain't been drunk. I just ain't been to bed, and I don't know when. And they're burning like crazy. I might put a little murine in them. Somebody's got some. But I never could stand that stuff. All I can find in here is a screwdriver. I ain't going to put that in it. Lamentations chapter 2. Lamentations chapter 2. Well, let's look at verse 18. Lamentations chapter 2. Now I'm going to bring you a little lesson on praying for your children. I believe that we ought to get better. We better learn to pray for our kids. Our kids will not make it unless mamas and daddies really pray for them. I mean, even for a Christian school, they won't make it. Mamas and daddies don't really pray for them. I believe when you pray for your kids, you kind of build a wall around them. And it's hard for the devil to get through that wall. The more you pray for them, and the more the Lord helps them. Verse 18. Their heart cried unto the Lord, O wall of the daughter of Zion, let tears run down like a river, day and night. Give thyself no rest. Let not the apple of thine eye cease. Arise and cry out in the night. In the beginning of the watches, pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up thy hands toward Him for the life of thy young children that faint for hunger in the top of every street. We have a generation of young people that's on the way to destruction this evening. Because the generation before them forgot God. We're reaping now in this generation of young people what their parents sowed many, many, many years ago. Oh, come on, I can't do that up here in front of all these people. I couldn't even hit my eye with that thing. I'll just run around here. What is that? Now, I heard Brother Jack Wood preach last night. Brother Wood's preaching. I think he's preached 41 years. And before he got saved, he robbed banks or busted up, blowed up safes and all kind of stuff. They rustled cattle. He's from Houston, Texas. And they were like gypsies. They blow up safes. I mean, they were mean people. He said him and a man was sitting around with 50 men one time in a room. And the sheriff said, you see this man right here, and pointing to him, said he'll steal anything that ain't tied down. And that's just the kind of man he was. He's wicked. And he said he was in the penitentiary, and all his years his mother prayed for him. And he said he had two sisters just as good as gold. These sisters, I mean, they never got in trouble. They obeyed their parents. They were just, I mean, just perfect acting girls. And he's always in trouble. And he was in the penitentiary. And he said his mama would come to visit him and stick her hand through the bars like that. And she'd stick her hand through there and she'd say, "Oh, God, Lord, save my boy." And wouldn't let go of his hand, I mean, praying like that. He said he didn't care if there was a guard standing there. She didn't care if a governor come walking through. She knew nothing. She'd just grab his hand and say, "Dear God, please save my boy. Oh, God," like that. And, buddy, it worked on him and worked on him. And you know what he said? He said when he got saved, he did get saved, God changed his life immediately. He was on drugs, heroin or something like that, and quit it immediately. Immediately. Quit it, just like that. And all of that stuff, immediately. You know, I believe a person really gets born again, something that changes. They don't go right out the door and want a beer. I mean, there's something. I'm not saying a person don't desire some of those things after they're saved, but I mean, when God moves into your life, buddy, there's something so big there, it's just unbelievable. And he said his two good sisters got saved after he did. Isn't that something? You'd have thought they'd have went to heaven and he'd have went to hell. But they'd have went to hell if he hadn't got saved. And his daddy, they called him Papa Jack. Papa Jack was real mean. And, I mean, he was mean. He hit him upside the head one time, left a big scar on his face. And he was trying to show us a scar last night when he's preaching. He said he was in a motel one time or somewhere, and he took the car and said he's supposed to be gone 4 minutes, and he's gone 4 hours. And he come back, and he went to the motel room, and he said that motel door flew open. His daddy coming to him, he said he thought that motel blowed up. Just boom, come out of that door like that, floored him like that, knocked him. I mean, just knocked him down. That's the kind of people they was. And his daddy was standing over and said, "Get up!" He said, "Uh-uh, I done made one mistake. I ain't making another." And he said he got it all that. But you know what? He said the reason he got saved because his mama kept praying for him. Now listen, we cannot overemphasize this. You know, I say it a lot and I preach on it a lot. We cannot overemphasize praying for our kids. Cry out to the Lord. Pour out our heart like water for our kids. For our kids. We love our children. We try to provide for them. Most of you people, you wouldn't have to work half as hard as you do, but you really want to provide something good for your kids. Isn't that right? Most of the stuff you buy ain't for yourself. They got to have them Reebok tennis shoes or them Nikes or them. They got to have a certain kind of blue jeans and they got to have braces. Lord have mercy, man. You can buy them a car for what you pay for braces nowadays. And back when we went to school, if your teeth is crooked, they is just crooked, and you just lived with it. Now, they spend much on braces. You used to buy a house. Now, what people spend on their kids' teeth. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. If you can do it, that's fine. But I'm just saying, if their teeth is worth $2,500, and they already got teeth, I mean, just making them closer together or something. If that's worth $2,500 and shoes is worth $60 and blue jeans is worth $35 and all of that and a car is worth several thousand, surely to the Lord their soul is worth us agonizing to God for. Surely it is. My goodness, we ought to listen. We work hard to provide our kids what they need. We work hours at the factory and at the plant. Well, how many times do we enter into that prayer closet and say, "I'm going to get on my knees and say, oh God, get on my boy. Oh God, get on my girl. God, touch my boy's heart, my girl's heart." Listen, it's up to us as parents to do that. It's up to, I heard old Brother Reggie Sadler sing another night and, you know, they sing that song, "Walk around me, Jesus. Walk around." You know, they sing that. And that's kind of, you know, it's barely on the edge. But he gets into it. He really does. He starts walking down. He starts, "Walk around when I am dying. Walk around." Gets his guitar like that, you know. And it's a blessing because you can just see the Lord walking. And he's talking about the Lord walking around their kids. He said, "Walk around my daughter. Walk around my son." And then he says, "Get all over him. Get all over him." And what he means is for the Lord's power just to get on our kids. Boy, I want to see the Lord get on my kids. I guess y'all heard about the service we had Sunday night. After we left here, went up to the house, a bunch of people started singing. About 12 o'clock, the Lord moved in. It got good. Next thing I know, somebody was crying. Next thing I know, somebody was testifying. Next thing I know, they was running through the house screaming and hollering. Knocking things over. Kelly Tucker busted the coffee pot. Of course, that was a blessing because we didn't know coffee pot no way. We had a shouting time. 12 o'clock at night. We had a shouting time. It was good. And you know what? I was thinking, I said, I want my girls to grow up remembering people shouting in their living room. And won't that be a blessing? Boy, I think it's rubbed. We got the supper table this evening. First time I've got to eat supper in my house, in my kitchen, in a good while. And we all sat down, and Laurie fixed turkey and gravy and biscuits, but they wasn't completely real biscuits. But man, it's good now. It's good. She didn't have but about 15 minutes, so I let her slide there. But it was delicious. A big turkey in the oven and gravy. I've been eating out for 2-3 weeks, and it's a blessing to get to eat at home. And we got ready to eat, and Corey said, "I'll pray." And I said, "Okay." And she said, "Buddy, she prayed." "Where's she at? Is she out?" "Oh, there she is. She's thinking about it. She's embarrassed." And she said, "Lord, help this and help that. Thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for our house and our food and our clothes." And boy, she prayed around the world, man. She prayed for the Christian school. She prayed for people that wasn't saved. She prayed for everything. And she got through, and I said, "Amen, Corey!" Right, didn't I? John Bain, almost that loud, too. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean that, buddy. I want the Lord to get on my kids. People say, "I don't believe the Lord can bless little kids like that." He sure can. He sure can. He sure can. Have you ever read how young some of them kings was in the Old Testament? That blows my mind when I read that. One old guy over there, Josiah, was 8 years old when he took the kingdom. I can just see a little 8-year-old boy up there running the whole kingdom of Israel. Wouldn't that be wild? "Oh, king, what would you have him?" All right, his voice ain't even changed yet. He's running the kingdom. Somebody prayed for that boy, I'll guarantee you that. You know what's against your kids? Their own nature is against them. Their own nature is against them, and they don't realize it. They don't realize that their nature really wants to do bad. I was grown before I realized that. I didn't realize that my nature was wicked till I did. But theirs is. It naturally wants them to do wrong. They have a mind of their own. Isn't it kind of scary when you realize one day that your kid's got a mind of its own? That always scares me. You know, when they're little, you can just say, "Now this is that, and this is that, and this is that, and this is that." Everything you say is just like it. Boy, when they get up a little bit bigger, they start saying, "Why? And how? And how come? And what for?" And you start saying, "Uh-oh, they're questioning." And that starts getting spooky when they get like that. The government, our society, all these things are geared against our kids being right with God. The devil, the world. And the bad thing about it is, the things the devil got to offer nowadays, kids naturally like it. The music, the TV programs. You know all these little, TV programs. I don't know what the names of them are, but they're just little afternoon shows just for kids. Listen, that's just like starting somebody off on soft liquor. It puts in their mind that the main thing in life is be pretty, be popular, have a boyfriend, have a girlfriend, fall in love as early as you can. That's what it puts in their mind. All these are just harmless little shows, brother. Listen, my kids was watching one time, and I didn't like the attitude. And I said, "Jens ain't watching that no more." And there's no cussing. There was no bedroom scenes. But it's bad for a 7-year-old to see, teenagers just with arms around each other and everything else and little insinuating little things like that. I don't want them. They have no business thinking about all that stuff when they're 6 and 7 and 8 years old. Or 11, 12, and 13, 14, 15. Amen! Preach! I'm just kidding. No, I wasn't kidding about that. I was just kidding about the amen. The things that are going on in the world now is just like a man trying to break in your house and poison your kids with poison. Say a man trying to break in your window. He's got poison. And your kids is in the bed and he's going to try to pour it down. You'd stop him, wouldn't you? But you'll let that guy come on TV and cuss, take God's name in vain, and pour liquor and drink it in front of them and talk wicked and everything. He's poisoning them. He's poisoning. And the bad thing about this kind of poison, they like it. They naturally like it. It's bad. All right, let me say this. Praying for our children is a privilege. Moses had a privilege, a priest, praying for the people of God. But look what a privilege me and you have of being the divine intercessor between God and our kids. You say, Brother Danny, I prayed for my kids ever since they was little, and now they've got out and got wild. What am I supposed to do? All I can tell you to do is hang on, believe God, trust God. I'll guarantee you one thing, they're not going to get away from what you taught them when they was little. One of mine's liable to do that. I can't say for sure that they won't. I don't judge you. Listen, I don't judge you if one of your kids has gone out and sinned. I don't say, you failed here, you failed there. I'm going to eat them words one of these days. I'm not one of these people who say, well, you must have done something wrong. No, sir, you won't hear me say that. My heart goes out to you. If you've got a kid that's rebelled, my heart goes out to you. I might be in your shoes one day begging you pray for mine. And I don't necessarily think you've done nothing wrong. The devil will jump on you and say, well, you was too strict. Or, well, you was too loose. Or, listen, you might have done the best you could. And they still might rebel. But I'll tell you one thing. As long as they're walking on this earth, there's hope for them to really get right with God. Don't give up. Don't give up. You say, they just act like they don't care. They might act like they don't. But I'll guarantee you every day of their life, the Lord's bothering them. He don't leave them alone. One every night when they go to sleep, they think about God. They're not getting away from the Holy Ghost that easy. I'll guarantee you God is dealing with them kids that you've got that's out of fellowship with the Lord. I believe when you're down on your knees praying for them, the Lord's talking to them right then, saying, you better get right, you better get right, you better get right. Then when they're around you, they'd never admit that it's bothering them. But it's bothering them. It's a privilege to pray for your kids. Let me say this. When you're praying for your kids, you got to be careful to make sure that you keep your attitude right. Don't resent your kids. Don't get bitter towards them. Pray that God will soften your heart. Especially when they get on your nerves and make you mad. Don't get bitter. You can get to the place where you despise your kids. You can get to the place where you despise your kids. And you need to pray that the Lord will soften your heart toward your kids. Their grades at school ain't right, and you just get madder and madder, and you want to kill them. Now, you might want to kill them, but make sure your heart stays soft toward them. I mean, listen, if a kid is making bad grades, I mean, find something. He's doing something, bound to be doing something right. Like one guy come home, he had terrible grades on his report card, and his mama said, well, there's one thing for sure, you're not cheating. See, that's good. That's good, ain't it? Ain't that a blessing? At least he's dumb, but at least he ain't cheating. Amen. Hallelujah. I'd rather have a dumb kid that wouldn't cheat than a smart crook. Pray for your attitude. Guy came in one time and he said, Daddy, would you punish me for something I didn't do? He said, no, son. He said, good, good, good. And he said, what was it? He said, my homework. You'll use that, won't you, kid? Remember that. That's a good one. You can use that on them. All right? Praying for your kids is a privilege. Second, praying for your kids is a duty. It's a duty. And we are to do our duty. It's a job. Have you ever read the book of Job? In the first chapter of the book of Job, Job was over there and he was making intercession for his kids. Great man. Great man. He had stocks and bonds and cattle and sheep and all kind of stuff. And he had 10 kids over there. And he spent all his time down there praying, oh Lord. He just said, if one of them's done something wrong. He didn't even know what they was doing. If one of them sinned, God, wipe it out. Isn't that something? You ever thought about that? You ever got down and just prayed and said, Lord, if any of my kids are doing anything wrong, God have mercy on them. Because we don't always know what they're doing. We don't always know what they're doing. And when you're around, you can make a kid do right. But when you're not around, which is a big part of the time when they grow up and start getting bigger, you don't know what they're doing. You don't know what they're saying. You don't know where they're going. You might think you do. You know what I believe? I believe a lot of parents don't want to realize the truth. Deep down inside, we know our kids getting worse and worse and worse, but we just don't want to face. We keep telling ourselves, well, they're all right. They're all right. They're all right. But something's gnawing on us down here saying, something better change. Something better change. You'll be visiting them up there in the jail one of these days. Or maybe in a coffin. Praying for them is a duty. Praying for them is a duty. I'm afraid some bad things will happen if we don't pray. Weep for ourselves and for our children. Like one boy came in and told his daddy, he said, "Daddy, this boy at school said I look just like you." And he said, "What'd you say?" He said, "I didn't say nothing. He's bigger than I am." They'll come in and tell you something like that one of these days. Number three, praying for them will be rewarded. Praying for your children will be rewarded. Praying for them is a duty, and praying for them finally will be rewarded. Said to this fellow one time, he's working on these, you know, these big sculptures, statues, whatever they are. And this guy's standing around, he's doing like this on it, ting, ting. And he's down like this, working real low on it, ting, ting, ting. And every time he'd do it, just a little bit of something would blow off air, or a little chunk of something. And he's shaping that statue to look just right. And a preacher come by. And this preacher stood there and watched him do that a little while like that, you know. And he just kind of watched him around. Looked around at a little while. He was amazed. That guy's down like this, you know. Down here like on his knees like this. Just chunk, 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 chunk like that. And the preacher started comparing that in his mind to his preaching. And he stopped this guy and he said, "Man, I wish I could give blows like that that could shape people's lives. Like you're shaping that thing." And the guy looked back at him and he said, "Well, you probably could if you worked like me down on your knees." And that preacher thought, "Boy, my preaching will shape people's lives if I spend time down on my knees." Listen, there's, you know, them boys here in Kentucky that I bragged on the other night. Couldn't you just feel something special on them boys? Just a spirit, just an attitude. You know where that come from? That come from their mama. Their mama stood up in church when I was up there preaching. Two or three times during the week, she stood up and she'd say stuff like, "I prayed for my boys all their life," and their daddy don't even go to church. "Pray for my husband and pray that God will bless my boys," and all that. You just see God on her. I mean, just like her face was shining. That is not a woman that watches soap operas all day. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. You don't watch soap operas all day and come to church and have God all over you like that. It just don't work that way. That's a woman that goes to the prayer closet and opens her Bible and gets down and says, "God, let your glory come down on me." And them kids can sense it. And kids can feel it. These people in here, Brother Ray back there, Brother Ray, he got a mama like that, ain't you, Ray? He got a mama like that. His mama's one of them kind of women. Just loves God and you just shine. Some mountain woman, way up there in the mountain in Burnsville. And Miss Millie had a mama like that. And others in here had a mama like that just prayed for them and prayed for them. And I'm sure many of you could say, "My mama was that kind of woman." Well, listen, is that the kind of mama you're being? How long has it been since your kids come in and they heard you praying? If every time they come in the door, you're sitting there watching television, that's all they're going to do. If they come in sometime and they hear you crying out, oh God, please. Buddy, if they are doing wrong, I'm telling you, it's gonna drive them bananas until they get right. I forgot about this, but I wrote this down a long time ago. One time I dreamed that Carrie had a big chew of tobacco in her mouth. Wouldn't that be a sight? And I thought, "Oh my soul! You know, that looks bad for a man, but a girl, oh boy, you know, walking around like this, you know, spitting every now and then like that. That would be horrible." And have you ever dreamed of something like that? And you just wake up and say, "Oh, thank God." You know, that's not true. It's like Brother Bruce, you've given that illustration. He gave us the illustration. Did you give that illustration here when I've been gone sometime about you throwing up? Wasn't that you? Brother Bruce dreamed that he threw up. He thought he threw up. He really thought he threw up in bed. Isn't that the way it went? He's telling. And he thought he threw up. And I forgot how it went, but anyway, I might have him stand up and tell me. Somebody said, Churl, don't move. She said, "I threw up. It's somewhere in the bed, and I don't know where it's at." Now, he really woke up, and he thought he threw up, but he just dreamed it. He really didn't even throw up. And can you imagine laying there in the bed real still and just kind of feeling around? trying to find it. Well, it come to pass that he didn't really throw up at all. He didn't even throw up. He just dreamed it. I mean, it seemed so real. That's the way it is. You know, you dream something about one of your kids, and I thought, you know, you thought it was real, boy. You thought, oh, my soul. And then it wakes you up, and it gives you such a burden for them. Have you ever woke up with such a burden, you just got out of your bed right then and got down on your knees and started praying right in the middle of the night? That's the Lord gets you up sometimes like that. If the Lord ever wakes you up in the night and says, get up and pray, you better get up and pray. Because something's coming. Something's coming the next morning. Something's coming soon. It's a privilege. It's a duty. It'll be rewarded if we pray for our kids. John R. Rice's mother and dad, when he's just a little baby, you know, he edited The Sword of the Lord, wrote no telling how many books, preached 50 years, and they give him, when he's a little baby, they give him to the Lord, and they said, Lord, use our little boy and call him to preach. And sure enough, God did. They gave him to the Lord and prayed for him. It's no accident some of these guys come up like they do. Sometimes our kids praying ain't much because ours ain't much. Woman had some preachers over to visit her one time. The preacher sat down to eat. And they got ready to ask the blessing. And she said, all right. She thought she'd be real spiritual and have the little girl ask the blessing to make a good impression on the preacher and his family. And she said, all right, honey, you ask the blessing. Mom. Yes, honey, now. Here, show the preacher how you can pray. You ask the blessing. She said, I don't know what to say. She said, you just say what mommy says. She said, okay. So she bowed her head and said, Lord, why did I invite these people over here on a hot day like it? She heard that. That's all she heard mama say. That's all she heard mama say. If all they hear you say is, now lay me down to sleep, that's all they're going to say. If they hear you agonize, listen, that scripture said, they pour out your heart like water. I like to hear Sister Opal, Miss Parker, and some of these ladies get around, and I mean just bawl, pour out their heart like water. I like to hear that. Some of you teenage girls, that's what you need to do. Get around, get in a prayer room with these ladies. Come up here Saturday night, and that's what you want to just pour out your heart like water. Just pour it out. You say, well, Brother Danny, I just can't. I'm so hard-hearted, I can't even cry for my kid. Well, you need to pray for God to give you a burden until you can. Until you can, because somebody needs to weep over our kid. Said that big picture the youth choir took, and they were looking at it. People in Alabama was wanting to see it, and everybody's talking about it and everything. And the lady looked at me and she said, "Do you realize what a responsibility that is? There's 130 of them in that picture at practice Sunday before last." And I said, "Sure is, ain't it? What a responsibility! Those little kids that stand right here are looking to me and you." If they see God in us, they're going to want God when they grow up. We better learn how to pray. Pray like we've never prayed before. I know things are going good. We see a lot of people saved, young people on fire. But listen, we need, don't let up praying when it's good. Or the devil can drop a bomb on that just like that. Pray that the Lord will have mercy on us. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.